This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson.
And the butchery begins.
In the Netflix series House of Cards, Kevin Spacey plays Francis Underwood, the politician who takes normal politician behavior, cynical, self-serving deceit, way over the top.
Any pugilist worth his salt knows when someone's on the ropes, that's when you throw a combination to the gut and a left hook to the jaw.
In fact, Spacey has become an expert at evil politicians. Starting in 2011, he's played Richard III, the baddest king ever put into a play, in a great production directed by Sam Mendes. They did 200 performances on three continents. A documentary is just out that chronicles that tour. It's called Now, In the Wings on a World Stage. And Kevin Spacey is with me. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me.
So the documentary is called Now because why?
Well, two reasons. It is the first word of the first sentence of Richard III. Now is the winter of our discontent. Or as some people like to say it, now is the winter of our discount tents. And secondly, it is what in my mind and in I think anyone's mind who loves and works in the theater, which is that theater is now. It's at this moment. It's here and it's gone.
Let's listen to a clip from the documentary. This is the director of your Richard III, Sam Mendes, talking about the audience's response to you as Richard.
Playing a bad man and doing it in such an unabashed and brutally frank way released the audience into sort of not worrying about the play, not fretting about understanding, but taking pleasure in the acts of a bad man.
And seem a saint when most I play the devil.
And of all the things you could have chosen to take around the world to all these amazing places and outdoor ancient theaters and the rest, why did you choose Richard III?
We started rehearsals in May of 2011 as the Arab Spring ignited. This is a man who was a bit of an actor, very much along the same way since we were doing a modern dress production.
Guys are wearing suits and ties.
Guys are wearing suits and ties. And I had a sort of Gaddafi outfit, actually, we called it, literally based on what many of the photographs that we'd seen.
At the moment,
Gaddafi.
He's being run down. And
yeah. And yet, here we were doing this 400-year-old play that has resonance today and that is in many ways showing us that we have both learned a lot and learned nothing. And particularly in our political worlds.
As I suggested at the top, there are obvious parallels between Frank Underwood and Richard III. Both of them also break the fourth wall and tell the audience what the horrible thing they're about to do.
That's true. As many people are mistaken that Ferris Bueller did not invent direct address. It was, in fact, Shakespeare.
Did the Richard III experience affect your decision to do House of Cards, how you created that character, the whole shebang?
Having just done Richard III all around the world for 200 performances, and then the next job I had, a month later I was shooting House of Cards, was very informative for me. Partly because, although there are parallels, it's actually true that Michael Dobbs, who wrote the original book, based the character of Francis on
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Richard III. Huh. And I took this 10-month experience, particularly, huh, I have to say, the direct address, because now I'm just looking down the barrel of a lens. But my memory of the look in people's eyes that I got from Singapore to Beijing to Istanbul, all these places where people – you could see this kind of relish, this kind of glee that they had about being let in on the secret. And there is that quality. You are becoming Francis's co-conspirators,
yeah,
in very much the same way the audience becomes – Richard III's co-conspirators, up to a certain point.
Right.
Then the audience is like, what have we been doing?
Yes. I'm supposed to like this guy?
Yes.
Sam Mendes directed you before, of course, in American Beauty. At the beginning of that movie, you tell us in voiceover narration directly that you're about to die, essentially. Let's listen to a clip.
My name is Lester Burnham. This is my neighborhood. This is my street. This is my life. I'm 42 years old. In less than a year, I'll be dead. Of course,
I don't know that yet. And in a way, I'm dead already.
Your character in American Beauty is obsessed, among other things, with a teenage girl who is his daughter's friend and becomes, for a middle-aged man, which I was at the time as well, watching it, it's uncomfortable because it's every cliche that a middle-aged father doesn't want to be. You had just become a big star at that point. Did doing this feel like a risky thing?
Well, I do remember that there was one agent who said to me before I had read the script that this is not a movie you should do. this is a movie about a pedophile. And then I read the script and I thought, ultimately, Lester makes the right choice. It didn't concern me. I thought it was funny. I thought it was dark. I thought it was alarming. And I sort of finally understood, maybe a little bit later, why the movie had such an impact on audiences, not just middle-aged, although I definitely did get stopped by a lot of people who said, the first time I saw American Beauty, I was married, and the second time I saw it, I was divorced. A lot of that happened.
That's a sad thing.
I know. I said, we weren't trying to increase the divorce rate.
Yeah.
But
third time I was in jail.
But what was interesting is also kids. To some degree, one of the reasons why I thought Lester ultimately became a character that audiences really liked is that he was in some ways behaving like a kid.
Huh, yes.
He was very disruptive. He was pushing the boundaries and going different places and trying new things. And, you know, we all have that in ourselves, you know, to be a little disruptive.
So that is a huge success for you. You're an even bigger star, but you're a star. You are the go-to guy for askew people and kind of, if not villains, anti-heroes. Was that okay by you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the alternative would be unless I was going to play sort of very, you know, mealy-mouthed, boring, you know, white suburban.
Action hero.
Action heroes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never really got offered those kind of parts. They didn't really interest me. And then ultimately, pretty much, pretty close after American Beauty, I made the decision that I was going to move to London and run a theater for 10
exactly.
years.
So just after you become this big movie star, you become the artistic director of the Old Vic Theater, which must have startled your team of agents and managers.
I was at a point in my career where I had had this sort of remarkable 10, 11, 12 years, and I had already played the Old Vic stage with Iceman Cometh. So there's two things I think about it. One is I couldn't have picked a better decade to have gone to run a theater because I haven't missed that much in film, number one. And number two, going to London and running the Old Vic and doing a play every single year over the last decade has made me a better actor.
Acting in a play, as well as overseeing and directing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been ready for House of Cards 10 years ago.
Huh. When you were just getting started as an actor in California, you met Jack Lemmon, and then you acted with him in the adaptation of Glengarry Glen Ross. I want to play a bit of a scene where you discover that Lemmon's character has broken into their office the night before, trying to hijack some of his business.
This is what we're going to do. 20%. I'm going to give you 20% of all my sales. 20% as long as I'm with this firm. 50. 50% of all my sales.
What sales?
What sales? My God, I just closed 82 grand. Are you out of your mind? I'm back. This is just the beginning.
Just the beginning? Where have you been, Shelley? Huh? Bruce and Harriet Nyborg. You want to see the memos? They're nuts. They used to call in every week. When I was with Webb, we were selling Arizona. They're nuts. Did you see how they were living? How can you delude yourself?
I got their check.
Yeah, well, forget it. Frame it. It's worthless.
The check is no good.
Yeah, you want to stick around? I'll pull the memo. I'm busy now.
Wait a minute. The check is no good. They're nuts.
You want to call the bank, Shelley? I called them. I called them 4 months ago when we first got the lead. The people are insane. They just like talking to salesmen.
Gosh, just hearing his voice.
He was a mentor of sorts.
A huge mentor. And I met him, by the way, when I was in junior high. And he put his hand on my shoulder after I did a scene. And this shy 13-year-old who dreamed of being an actor and this man who was my idol.
Really?
Oh, I loved his movies.
I did too at that age.
And he literally put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You are a born actor. You should go to New York. You should study and you should make this your career." And I took his advice. And 12 years later, got the chance to audition for a production of Long Day's Journey and Tonight, in which I won the role of his son. And he became my mentor, my father figure.
Did he remember this encounter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's there's not a day that goes by where I don't think about Jack. He had this wonderful philosophy that he used to always talk about, which is that if you've done well, he used to say, in the business you wanted to do well in, then it's your obligation to send the elevator back down. And I always thought that was such a great way of saying it. So the logo for my foundation is the universal button you push to send the elevator up.
And you do that impression of him as well as I read of Al Pacino and Bill Clinton and all these people. Is this a thing you've always been able to do easily and well?
I basically discovered when I was very young that I could make my mother laugh. And that was the greatest sound I ever heard. My mother didn't have it easy. And so doing impressions, doing my Jimmy Stewart or my Humphrey Bogart or my, you know, Cary Grant, my Hepburn, my mother would peel with laughter.
Are they still mostly people who were famous in the 50s and 60s, or have you used to keep doing?
No, some are out there right now. I love that House of Cards. No, it's good. I like it.
Very nice.
90% of what they do on that show, 99% is real. And the 1% they got wrong, you could never get an education bill passed that fast.
That's very good. Actually, that is a thing that people have said to me about House of Cards, is that it's a dream of when Washington worked well. It's a fantasy of Washington being functional. So you have said that this is your last year running the old Vic.
Yes, August 2015.
And after you leave, do you have a sense of what you'll do in this next phase of your career? Should we expect the same level of surprise you've given us over the last 15 years?
I hope that I will continue my disruptive behavior.
And so do we. Kevin Spacey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Spacey is the star of House of Cards, which is on Netflix. The documentary, now in the wings on a world stage, is in theaters and also available for download. You can find out more about that at studio360.org. Stop me, huh?